Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time.
There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
All right, we're back, and I don't have a fancy intro to hour number two.
But, really? After all that you were doing?
No, I don't. So anyway, but now I'm going to start, and I'm going to play this. Hey, everybody. All of us here at the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast want to wish you the happiest of holidays, and we know that they are quickly approaching. And I just want to take a quick second and remind you that we do have an affiliate link over at Amazon. It's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And if you use that link and shop in Amazon like you normally would, we get a small percentage, which helps pay for the podcast. And we want to keep it free, and we don't want to charge anything, and we don't want to add too many different ads and things into the show. But we want to remind you that if you do your Amazon shopping through our affiliate link, it's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com, we will get a percentage back, and it's going to help pay for the podcast. So thank you so much, and again, happy holidays.
And here are some great listener emails.
Now, do you get the reason I use pigeons?
No.
Because that's how the postcard got to Neil. And they do use pigeons for... That's fine, I'll change it. I just thought it was kind of cool, but possibly not. Okay. So this is from Belinda, and it says, "Hey, Jeff and Colleen, I'm listening to 42, Feedback and More, the main show for the doctor, and I really felt like I needed to email you. I'm a longtime listener, and I enjoy your podcast a lot. They keep me going until the next episode of Once Upon a Time airs. Plus, you often talk about and enlighten me on things I didn't notice in the last show. Thank you very much. However, I was sad to hear you both seem a little disappointed with the appearance of Dr. Frankenstein. Of course, you're entitled to your opinions as a listener. As a listener, I really appreciate and value them. But as a fellow fan of Once Upon a Time, I'd like to share mine with you, too. Needless to say, I'm enjoying Season 2 just as much as Season 1. While I agree with you that the show's taken a turn from the direction in which it was originally headed, unlike you guys, I actually feel excited about the new possibilities. Due to the shift in new characters, it seems we could see any fictional character turn up. And I honestly don't have a problem with that, especially when you consider some of the people from Season 1, such as King Midas, as you mentioned. If Dr. Whale had been the Wizard of Oz, is he any more of a fairy tale character? What's the definition of a genuine fairy tale character anyway? It all derives from legend, folklore, myth. It's really hard to define, but I'd say that some modern fictional characters, such as Shrek, for example, would probably qualify as one. And I, for one, am much more comfortable with Dr. Frankenstein being in the show than a wisecracking Scottish ogre. Wink. Yeah, me too, I guess. But we did have an ogre, so.
Right, right. Not wisecracking Scottish, but definitely
true.
An ogre. Yes.
True. So, okay.
So, the definition of a fairy tale, according to Wikipedia, is that there are certain elements that have to be present in that are typically present in a fairy tale, such as goblins, trolls, ogres, mythological creatures, fairies, but not all fairy tales require fairies. But here's the thing. If you go look up on Wikipedia...
Let's do this. I mean, it's going to come down to semantics, and it's going to come down to point of view.
Correct.
And
correct. But I mean, widely accepted fact is that Frankenstein's not a fairy tale. It doesn't have any supernatural elements to it.
Right.
It doesn't have any mythological creatures. It doesn't have any fairy tales, and it doesn't have anything magical about it.
Right.
It's all science. In fact, it's actually considered a work of horror, romance, or science fiction, ironically. So
right. It's
not considered a fairy tale. Shrek would be considered a fairy tale because it has a plethora of magical beings and magic and such. So I know it sounds ridiculous to say it, but look, my lawyerly part is that Frankenstein is not a fairy tale. There's no way I would ever accept that Frankenstein's a fairy tale because it doesn't fit any of the general fairy tale. In fact, Wizard of Oz was considered a fairy tale, and then it's now been categorized as something else, and I can't think off the top of my head, but anyway.
Well, you know, okay.
Fantasy. That's what it is considered now. But it was originally considered a fairy tale.
Yeah.
So it's not about the age of the story either. That's the other thing. It's not about the age. It's a very well-defined genre.
Right. Okay.
And actually, there's subgenres. There's animal fairy tales, and there's regular fairy tales. So
she did do some studying on this.
I did, because you know what? Because I know this really gets people's little crop, and I'm just saying, look, I appreciate that that somebody likes Dr. Frankenstein in this story. I do not.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to leave it. I just don't.
Okay. All right. And like I mentioned before, you know, what's really nice about this podcast and everyone that listens, everybody brings in their different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You
absolutely.
Know, there are evil regals that can tell me specifically. I bet I could mention any episode, and I bet most evil regals could tell me exactly the outfits that Regina wore off the top of their head. And on the other hand, there are some folks that love Snow and Prince Charming.
Sure.
And I'll bet you they could do the same thing. So it's kind of what you like and you know,
absolutely,
kind of the way you look at it. Like I said, I have more room for it than Colleen does.
Mm-hmm.
Variety is a spice of life. You know, we certainly don't shun anyone for enjoying Dr. Frankenstein.
Hey, again,
or the story itself. All we said was,
right,
it really didn't fit in. We didn't expect it. Okay,
no, it doesn't.
And it was so.
It doesn't, because I know you mentioned this earlier, is that, you know, storybook characters. But every single thing I've ever read about the show, anybody describing it, read interviews, they all use the word fairy tales.
I know.
So if we're going to go, and again, this is the lawyerly part of me. I'm an analyst by trade. I get paid good money to do what I do.
Right.
And I'm just saying, if in fact you're going to go that, you're going to talk about the fact that anything that is, anyway, all I'm saying is if you like the Frankenstein thing, great. I'm glad. That's awesome. And I'm happy for you because you got yourself something you enjoy about the show more than I do.
So
I have a lot of other parts of the show that I love, and I'll be thrilled about those parts, not so thrilled about Frankenstein.
Okay. But we still love everybody. And I said, I mean, we don't shun anybody or any part. We still love the show, the writers, but it was a shock. So I want to keep going and going. I'm going to read this cool email. And there's a few other emails that are coming. Just letting you know.
Okay.
So I'm also not worried about seeing less of our main cast. I'm confident we'll be introduced to a large spectrum of characters without missing out on Snow, Emma, Regina, Charming, Rumpel, and Henry, etc. They managed it wonderfully in season one, why not in season and this season also? And I agree. And there's an email coming that discusses the original group from Lost and then the Tale characters in the Tale section that survived. And right. So I get that, and I do. I'm interested in seeing how they all work together. If they, and I, we mentioned this before, if the writers can get this whole Dr. Frankenstein to fit in with the framework, I know they can. And if they can do that, I say my hat's off to you because I wasn't looking forward to that. But if you can make it work with the rest of the characters, and at the end of the day, I could go, you know what? That was a great season. I had no idea how they were going to do that, but they really did it well.
I want to clarify again where we're coming from about the whole missing out on the characters. Season one was all about the primary characters. Mm-hmm. Snow, Charming, Regina, Rumpel, Granny, Red, Archie. We're seeing those characters, but the problem is we're not seeing them in the foreground because they're adding in these other characters to kind of add more to the story. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying we're not seeing these specifically, you know, Snow-centered episodes anymore. They're going to be about her probably somewhere in the background and everybody else.
Right.
So I'm just saying it's the whole point. They did this, like you said, they did this with Lost, and they had to introduce more characters, but they, again, pulled back, and we didn't see as much. And, I mean, hello, did we see Rumpelstiltskin in the last episode? I don't recall seeing him.
No.
And the week before that, we barely saw Regina, if at all.
Yes.
So, I mean, not the Doctor. There's one of the other episodes. I can't remember which one. But, but bottom line is that the point I'm trying to make is that we're going to see, you know, we're going to see more characters, but that also means we may see, you know, some episodes where our favorite characters that we've been, you know, watching, the, you know, from season one, they're not going to be in those episodes. Granny, where's she been? Where's Ruby been?
Right.
Where's Archie been? Where's Henry been? I mean, I'm just saying, that's all I'm saying. So anyway, and then back to the whole, you know, look, Frankenstein thing. Ugh.
Well, listen, we could have not said anything and just kind of rode through, but we felt like we should be honest and be us because that's I felt like it was incumbent upon us to be that, you know. And like I said, we're not haters. We don't hate on the show. We don't hate on the writers.
Gosh, no.
We were just voicing our opinion about it. But like I said before, if we get to the end of the season and they have fit everything in and it worked, I'll say, you know what? It was a great ride. I was wrong about my hesitation. It worked out fine. I'm ready for season three. Let's go. Let's get on with it. You know, so I mean,
exactly. And I'm just going to prep this right now. I'm just going to say this right now. There's a very real possibility they could go another route down the road that we won't like either.
Well, yeah.
And we'll just have to cross that bridge when we get to it, won't we?
So. Is Dr. Phil on the line?
No.
Is he there?
I don't need Dr. Phil would actually agree with me. He'd say it's healthy to express my feelings.
I know.
Say that, look, I didn't care for this, and that's just how it is. And you know what? I'm moving on with it. I still love the show. If I get a salad at a restaurant and there's one bad piece of lettuce in it, I don't send the whole thing back.
Right.
I take out the bad piece of lettuce. I ignore it, set it aside, and I enjoy the salad.
Yep. Okay.
Anyway, I'm just saying, I don't, you know, anyway. Can we move on to the next thing?
I'm trying to keep that? Yes.
Hey, that'd be awesome. Okay. I'm all sweaty now from the ranting.
I know that.
But poor lady is just like looking at me like, what's wrong? What's wrong?
Okay. Anyway. I will continue with Belinda's email. And Belinda, believe me, this has been building. So I'm glad that you've kind of been the conduit through which she has expressed herself and kind of got it out.
Yes.
So it's good. All right. So having said all that, I do feel the reveal of Dr. Frankenstein was a little predictable. And I felt the same way. It was like pointing directly to it. And then especially Well, we won't talk because there's more emails asking about it. But anyway, it's just it does seem predictable to me. I totally agree. I know most of the counterparts are obvious from the start, like Red Riding Hood, but I felt like they were trying to hide his real identity throughout this episode and made a big deal with announcing it at the end when we already knew full well who he was. Strange, I admit. I do like that they made it clear he was from a different place, though, another universe, hence the almost monochrome tint of the film when we saw him back in his world. To me, it's fascinating that characters from Fairytale Land are just fine with the idea of portals to other worlds. It tells me that they're used to seeing people from other strange places. And that's, wow, that's a valid point. There's no question. Where are you from? Well, I don't, you know. You're strange. Like, well, you know, we have portals. So, yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
And I think we should be fine with that, too. Smiley face. Well, sometimes it takes a little longer.
Well, and again, look, I'm going to say this one more time. I'm feeling like I'm climbing on the soapbox again. No, what I really wanted to say was the fact, look, if they had pulled off something that would have fit more in line with an actual fairy tale, again, when you promote everything as being fairy tale centric and you pull in something that's literary and not even in the same genre, because Frankenstein is not a fairy tale. But if you pull that in there, you're going to have people who are going to go, wait. So if we're going to see Frankenstein, so who's next? Are we going to see the Great Gatsby?
Well,
are we going to see, see Tarzan?
I didn't bring up the D word either. So let's just, okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay, breathe.
Just saying.
Breathe and knit.
Yeah.
Breathe and knit.
Yeah.
Breathe and knit. It's going to be okay.
Because, I mean, look, there's just, anyway.
It's all right.
I'm breathing. I'm sweaty. Let's move.
All right, so I'm going to finish Belinda's email. Anyway, I've gone on a little too long, but I wanted to try and ease your fears. Thanks for taking the time to read it. All the best, Belinda Vaughn, England. Thank you, Belinda.
Yes, thank you.
For that email.
Yes, absolutely.
We love our friends, whichever side of the pond they're on, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
And the
You're
doctor.
You're just laughing at me. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, let's see. Do we get another email just now? No. All right. We will continue on. This is from Dave. David B. David B. has been an email friend for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the first guys that would send me information back and forth. And I really appreciate that. I really, really do. And he's been really, really cool. So anyway, it was nice. He emails, he said, excellent episode, but casting Jorge Garcia as the giant? Well, I don't know. At very least, the special effects department should have magnified his voice to correspond with his giant size. David B. So David B. is weighing in on his questioning Jorge Garcia as the giant.
Well, look, I kind of knew that.
Yeah.
So. No. Here's the thing. I like him. I liked him as the giant. But the problem is, I really would have liked to have seen more of him in the show. I don't know that we're going to see him again. I hope we do. I really do. Because I really like Jorge Garcia. I would love to see more of Jorge Garcia. I think he's a fantastic actor. But the fact that they put him in this little small role, pardon the pun, because, I mean, really, where are they going to go with it?
I know.
I mean, maybe they'll bring him back. I really hope so. But if they didn't and they only had him in for one episode,
Just to let everybody know, there's some like David would say, Jorge was my Dr. Frankenstein. I don't want to see that character again.
That's true. That's very true.
See?
Right.
So I'm just kind of letting you know that there's different sides around.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the sleeping lady is gone. Now the wandering around, looking around lady is here. All right. So this is from Melinda. Hey, Colleen and Jeff. You know, again, Colleen and Jeff.
Yes.
See? You get top bill.
Only because of that one show.
You and
show.
Your knitting needles.
Yeah.
Okay, I pray you both are feeling better and continue blessings for you both. Thank you. And we are feeling much better.
Yes.
She was feeling better. Ah, she's okay.
I'm fine. I know. Fine.
Last night was another interesting filler episode with more story and less action. As my daughter and I were watching the episode, I commented to her how Neil sure did look like the guy from the opening of the season. And yep, he was. So that had me wondering if August sent him the postcard since August said he would let him know if Emma was no longer in danger. Also, what was in that box? That's a good question.
Lady.
There's Lady.
She started chewing on the microphone stand. Hey, none of that, you.
Yeah.
She's looking at me like, but I'm so cute.
Uh-huh.
And you are, but no chewing on that. I'm a bop you if you chew on that.
Don't bop, honey. We don't bop here at this house.
Bop. No. No touching. Now she's licking my toes.
Yep. Okay.
Anyway.
This show's getting weird now.
I know.
All right. I wonder, and back to Melinda's email, also what was in the box. I wonder if it was the book or a photo of August as Pinocchio, LOL. It must have been something serious for Neil to just walk away. I do think that August turned Emma in and not Neil. Ooh, very interesting. Because we went directly to Neil. But maybe Neil said, no, I can't do it. Because, well,
there's
I'll do
a
it
possibility,
then.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very interesting.
It's a possibility he just left so he wouldn't have to break her heart.
Yeah. But that did sound like, you know, and that's another thing, just the idea of plan.
Yeah.
August always said, remember when Henry was talking to him, you know, well, that's the plan. Plan. Rumpel's a planner.
Yep.
And, you know, it did seem like August had a mission, of course, and he had a plan. So, you know, maybe he already had it figured out. Like when Neil said, I can't do it, I'm not going to do it. I figured that. So I've already done blah, blah, blah. So all you need to do is nothing or something or whatever. So I'll continue. Oh, one more thing. The dreams that Aurora and Henry had, I feel, has to do with the opening episode that I read for the title for Queen of Hearts. I did not read spoilers because I love finding out and not knowing what's going to happen. I wonder if Cora is Regina. I wonder if Cora or Regina has some type of mind-altering spell that makes people tell them the information they want to know. Possibly. You know, but if we do kind of open up the whole, you know, characters from literature, you know, maybe there is a, you know, a spell or a belt of truth like the Wonder Woman had or something like that.
Right.
I noticed something, and I think you mentioned it was from a Greek mythological story, the Golden Lasso or something, right? That was in Rumpel's grand estate. It was on one of the pillars.
Ooh. Yeah. No,
it looked like a rope to me. So anyway, thinking back, maybe could be any of that. I continue. I could even see Rumpel having this type of power as well. And true, you know, I mean, there were so many bottles of so many potions and we don't know what was in that book. There could be all kinds of different things, in that book. So keep up the good work, Melinda. Thank you so much, Melinda, for that. Yeah. Very cool. All right. And this is from Karen in Maryland. And it says, greetings, C&J. So when August tells what's-his-name he'd sent a postcard, I thought he was the guy from the first episode. So I went back to watch to the DVR to watch the opening of the first episode. And darn, my DVR only keeps 5 shows, and this being the 6th episode, I'm out of luck. So the ABC player only has the last 5 shows as well. Arg! Where can I find a video of the opening scene?
But does ABC.com doesn't have the whole season?
No.
You may try iTunes, ironically. iTunes will have the episode, but if you don't want to get the episode, if you do preview, sometimes they'll do like the opening scene.
Okay.
So that may be worth a shot if she's wanting to see it. That's but we know point. That it is him, so.
Yes, yes. But yeah, seeing it is for sure fun too.
Or you can go to Hulu.
Hulu might have it, but I think they're kind of locked down by ABC to do whatever they want. But possibly.
Yeah. You never know. It might be on YouTube.
Yeah,
I didn't say that, but, you know.
Okay. And on another note, I'm waiting for Emma to yell mom at Snow, right? And
yeah.
True. Yeah. No, that's true.
That's got to be really weird, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, it's one of those things you just got to, I mean, you just kind of go, what?
And whilst I'm at it, may I also re-suggest that you play the episode in silence while you're watching the First Thought PC. They're running near an hour anyway, and you'd have a visual cue to trigger all those first thoughts. We can't. The TV's in the other room.
Right.
We can't.
We can't do that.
Nope. We're not that technical. I'm happy that the thing records when I turn it on. I'm thrilled at that. And yes, we're still recording. So, okay. Big love, Karen in Maryland. Thank you so much for that email.
Yes.
And I continue on. This is from Nat. Hi, Jeff. So I was thinking about the whole candle story from last night's episode. This popped in my head. It's a nursery rhyme. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack jumps over the candlestick. So to explain it, think of it this way. Jack be nimble. Emma had to come up with a clever plan to get into the place, so she used the poppy powder. Jack be quick. Emma kept saying, let's keep looking. I don't have much time, etc. Jack jumped over the candlestick. Emma jumped over the rope to the giant's trap to catch him. So it may sound silly out loud, but this sounds like it was hidden in there. What it implied, I'm not sure. Since I'm pointing it out, perhaps you could decipher a little more. They're mixing fairy tale characters with other stories now. Why not throw in a couple of nursery rhymes as well? Hoping everyone is feeling better. Until then, Nat. And yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it figures in kind of what they were doing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely possible.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, we already have, you know, I mean, they did have, they've had other things. They've pulled in other things that are very, you know. Nursery rhyme type stuff.
I bet you that
old woman in the shoe.
Yes, that was funny.
That was pretty darn.
You could
funny.
Live in a shoe. You could eat frozen burritos and write programs, but you could still wear red high heel shoes, right? Red, right. Come on, Red.
Okay,
you're right down there looking up at me, Red.
Yeah,
Red.
Yeah.
Come on, Red.
Yeah.
She was staring at him because they had a connection, right?
Well, they're buddies.
I know that. You know, turning into a wolf to...
She snows like her sister.
King George's army.
Yeah, snows like her sister.
Mm-hmm.
So she has very sisterly feelings towards her, so she's going to, you know, have brotherly feelings towards him.
And I had a weird thought that...
Oh, Lord.
Maybe... What?
Even your weird thoughts.
Never
no,
mind.
No, please. I want to hear it now. I'm sure the chat room would love to hear it too.
And seeing, I remember the pictures of the people in the safe haven little area there. And they were all dead. And I was thinking, it almost looks like a wolf attack.
Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily Cora. Because we've seen the heart thing.
Yeah, but... Their hearts were all torn out.
Okay. All right. Like I said, I wasn't going to say anything, but, all right. This is from Cynthia. Thank you for your wonderfully entertaining podcast. I listen to them every week. Love your insight, which generally either answers some of my questions or raises more questions to ponder. Here are some of my responses to the show and your podcast. The new question becomes who will Woo!
What?
Caught myself.
Wow.
Who? Oh, mama.
Gosh. What just happened?
I don't know.
I'm just sitting here knitting away.
I know.
Lady's sleeping again. And
you know what happened today? I had two fillings redone.
In your head?
So it's almost like Saturday has become this medication day, is where my mouth is numb and I get poked with needles and stuff and drill in my head. And it's just weird. So anyway, they didn't ask me if I was flossing or using mouthwash then today. Normally they do.
Well, that's only when they clean the teeth.
Let's try it again.
Okay.
Number one, the new question becomes, who will Hook follow now? He has no magic ashes. He has gotten... I didn't say anything bad. No. The FCC can't come after me.
I know, but oh my God. Oh, wow. Oh. Anyway, wow. And I'm not even drinking right now.
I know. I didn't say anything wrong.
No, you didn't.
So
luckily, oh.
Okay, what happened?
I dropped a needle.
Knitting needle, folks. Knitting needle. Lord.
Yeah, I'm losing it too.
I'm going to call Father Roderick and Dr. Phil and just get somebody to help us. Okay, I will continue. He has no magic ashes. I got to watch that too. And he hasn't got the magic compass either. And he needs both. Cora or Emma, who will he look for? I think he said, well, you're a safer passage for me, so I'll go with you. But on the same token.
But I thought he said something about whoever's going to be the highest bidder.
Yeah.
Offer him the most.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right. Number two, regarding Emma's Catholic schoolgirl outfit. And I did not go to Catholic school, but it was very reminiscent of it. And that's what she mentions here. It reminded me of the Britney Spears of that era. And I thought they did a convincing job of portraying Emma as a teenager. She was on the loose and learning how to become a thief to get the things she wanted. She really loved Neil, and I think the love was mutual. I agree. Unless we find out he was sent there.
Yeah.
Set up. I don't know. But yeah. I think it was real. Yeah, hit me, baby, one more time. Yep. Britney Spears.
Yes. Yes. I recall the first time I ever heard that song, because you had the CD.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You did. I go, oh, who's this?
No, I downloaded it.
Oh, well, anyway, bottom line is you go, oh, it's this new girl, Britney Spears. She's really good. And I said, really? And then I saw her and I go, oh, that's why you think she's good. You weren't listening to her. You were just looking at her.
Hey. She had a great auto-tuned voice. I really appreciated that.
Oh, anyway. Moving
what
right
a,
along.
What a show. What a show we got here. Wow.
It's turning into comedy unintentionally.
Yeah. I almost said a bad word. Anyway.
Two.
Number
almost said two bad words.
Number three. Neil led her down on a downward spiral. In the end, betrayed her and became one of the reasons she is so distrustful and guarded. While in a different land, Hook was leading her on an upward spiral, and so to speak, trying to gain her trust and break through her walls of betrayal. Epic fail, as she bested him once again. Very, very interesting. Yeah. Wow. Very good.
Yes, very good.
Thank you for your explanation regarding why the giant spoke as he did. I did tell myself at the time, weird. That doesn't sound like a giant to me. What kind of a giant talks like that? But now I get it. I never watched Lost, and you're not the only one. There are many, many people that have never watched Lost, though.
So. Yes.
But I don't mind that they reference Lost in many of their episodes. Some people do, but sounds like you don't, so that's fine. He was really a nice giant, and while he was trapped, reminded me of Gulliver. Ah.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, I hadn't thought about that, but now that you mention it. I thought Emma's conversation with the giant was interesting as well. When she told the giant that not all people were bad, I think she was also convincing herself the same thing. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's what's nice about having a nice mix group of listeners watching the same show.
Right.
Some people will look and catch something immediately, and other people won't. And it's nice when these emails come in that they bring out things that just some people might miss.
Exactly. No, that's why. That's what I love about our show.
Yep. All right. Okay. And her walls of betrayal were beginning to come down. Very, very good. Number five, regarding the Red Room dreams. Since these are nightmares about fire, isn't it ironic that David tries to ward them off by using fire in the form of candles? Ooh. Huh. Yes.
Fight fire with fire.
Yep. I wanted to believe that these are premonition dreams and that in the dream, Aurora and Henry will learn how to help each other. And then later, when they're in a real-life fire in a red room, they will recall the dream and somehow save each other and others.
Hmm.
Hmm. Very interesting.
It's an interesting theory, too.
And I guess some people do believe that dreams are premonitions. Some people believe dreams are just kind of, you know, your latent, you know, dreams of what you want to do or whatever. And some are just a bad meal. But other people are like, you know, a premonition of something.
Right. I will tell you, I can honestly say that I've had some dreams that were very clearly just a mishmash of a bunch of crap. Things that were influenced by whatever I saw that day. Like, for example, I've had zombie dreams after I watch Walking Dead. So I don't like to watch Walking Dead late in the evening because then I have bad dreams.
Or Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, no. I don't have any dreams about Honey Boo Boo.
Okay.
But then the other, but on the flip side, and this hasn't happened for a really long time, and I mean a really long time, I honestly knew exactly, I used to have dreams, and it wasn't like a lot, but it was enough where I could actually tell you what somebody was going to say because I had a dream about it. Literally knew what was coming next because I had a dream about it. So yeah, premonitions, definitely. I think there's definitely, I just don't think we tap into that side of our brain
right.
So we can, you know, predict. I can't explain it, but I honestly can tell you I've had dreams where I knew exactly what somebody was going to say because I dreamt about it.
Yep. All right. I think Snow knows more about the dreams than she is letting on. However, I don't think she knows that Henry and Aurora have the same dreams. Good point. And I wished that she would have said, have you ever had these dreams, Snow? Tell me about it. Instead of, it's a side effect and it'll wear off and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I wish that she kind of asked, well, tell me about yours.
Well, so. Yeah, and I think we did talk about this, is the fact that Snow says they subside. I don't think they do.
Okay.
Frankly, I think she was just saying that to make her feel better so she'd get over it, so she could sleep.
Yep.
And I don't know that she's actually found out that what Henry's dream is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, they haven't really had any time.
Yep. So I will continue. I have no idea what or where the red room is, but if there are no doors or windows, how do they get into the room? A spell? Wow. It's a great pull. You know, it could be a portal into some place that has no exit.
Right.
Kind of like a, you know, a hat room or a hat portal that goes to a place that doesn't have all the doors. Hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And if the room is red, could it involve either Ruby or the Queen of Hearts? That's a great question. And I think you're right on the right trail. I think it is a premonition. Mm-hmm. And it more than likely is going to be the Queen of Hearts. That's what I think. And I think it's going to happen right as that mini hiatus happens, and we're going to see two people, probably Henry, probably Aurora, in trouble. And then we'll kind of get, you know, hung on that cliffhanger until we pick up next and see what happens. So
that's possible.
Very good. Number six, regarding the box, I have to watch again, but it never occurred to me that there was magic in the box. Angus is pretty savvy, and I doubt that he would ask someone from Fairytale Land if they believed in magic, so I assumed that Neil was not from Fairytale Land. The intention of the box was not to get Neil to be quiet, listen, and do what August wanted. At first, I thought blackmail, something bad from Neil's past, proof of another crime he had committed, something like that. Or what else would get Neil's attention? Maybe it was a big old box of cash, a payoff to get Neil to scram and leave Emma alone. And as a side note, I agree. August did look younger or more refreshed and a lot more handsome in this episode, if that's possible. Also, regarding August sending the postcard, which was written in a childlike writing, well, must be hard to write when your fingers are in the process of transforming from wood to flesh.
Well, and again, I didn't see it. It didn't seem childlike to me. It was all.
It did to me. It did.
Am I the only one who thought that then? Because it just seemed very. I mean, it was all block letters, capital, uppercase letters, but just. Yeah. It just didn't seem childlike to me. It just seemed like he was writing, like, you know, to be legible, because boys' handwriting is typically really difficult.
Well, we don't study cursive anymore, but I mean, I would consider somebody writing something kind of to be more uniform, but it didn't seem that way to me. Again, could be just me.
Yeah, I don't know.
He should have just got it in a printer and typed it out.
Yeah, postcards can't. Yeah, anyway.
I know. In closing, the episode seemed to be all the clocks and references to time. That is a brilliant, brilliant point.
Mm-hmm.
You are absolutely right, because he said we are slaves to time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll continue. Mulan's sundial, Neil's watches, 10 hours, etc. Also, you know, Hook said we're slaves to time. I don't know what it means, but in almost every scene, there's a reference to time. And now, TikTok, I'm wasting time. Time to get back to work. Thank you again for your wonderful podcast. Cynthia, thank you so much for that email. There was a lot of great, great stuff in there. So, man, very, 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 very cool. All right. This is from Holly from Wisconsin. Hey, Jeff and Colleen. Hope the both of you are feeling better. To answer your question as to how some of us knew Rumple was asking about slippers in the episode, the doctor was, I had closed captioning on. I'm not hard of hearing, but I sometimes find it useful if an actor has a very heavy accent, or if the actor has a tendency to speak softly or mumble, not like me. Right.
How many times do I say, wait, what?
I know.
And then you go, I said blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you mumbled is what you did.
And then I have a show full of emails I need to read, but I ask you to read and you're knitting. So you can't do two things.
I can't, no. It's very difficult to read and knit.
But I try. Or if the music score or special effects sounds drown out the actor.
Yeah, that happens. Sometimes.
The name of Regina's horse was Rocinante?
Yeah. Rocinante?
Yes. And that's, I'm wondering if we'll be getting more references to Don Quixote. And that was the name of his horse.
Oh, nice.
So, on to Tallahassee. This was quite an episode. We get to find out more about Emma and how she got over her, and how she got the bug and the identity of Henry's father. Was pleasantly surprised to see August in the flashback and the role he had in Neil leaving Emma to take the fall in for what he did. Also, what in the heck was in the box that August showed Neil? I know. I want to know, too.
Inquiring minds want to know.
It sure wasn't the typewriter based on Neil's reaction. The scenes with Hook and Emma facing the giant were fun. Loved how the giant granted Emma two favors. And his keeping Hook for her to make a clean getaway. I thought it was interesting that Aurora, Henry, and Snow had similar nightmares from the sleeping spell. Snow was in full mama bear mode when Mulan went to follow Emma's orders. Looking forward to hearing more of your thoughts and the rest of the listeners. If you or any of any fellow Oncers would like to follow me, Holly, I'm HollyMac_79. I don't tweet very often, but I like more Oncers in my feed. Time to wrap this up. Big love and good vibes to everybody. Holly from Wisconsin. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Holly.
So go follow Holly on Twitter. HollyMac, MAC_79. The number 79.
HollyMac?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Just making sure.
Excellent. All right. This is from Katie from Florida. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. What an amazing episode. We finally get to meet Henry's father. What was in the box August showed him? I know. I want to know.
And the sad part is, what if they never show us? What if that's a MacGuffin?
Right. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
See, they flipped it around. Mm-hmm. I think they should have done this because this whole thing fits in with August. I'm going to carry it around to mysterious places, making you wait and wonder what could be in the box. And then a few minutes later, he goes, well, here you go. See?
Yeah.
See? Yeah. I'm a writer. Okay. Anyway, all right. Henry is obviously some character. Henry is obviously some character from somewhere, since all it took was a quick glance in the box to be convinced. I think she meant Neil. Also, the look on his face when August asked him if he believed in magic made me think he was from some magical land. I also wanted to say this. It's a complete flip of Emma, because Emma didn't believe.
Right. And
he spent all of the time with Emma getting her to believe, begging her, pleading, showing her, nudging, all this thing. But this guy showed him one thing in a box, and there you go. That's it.
Yes.
No, I'm serious.
No, I know. But what cracked me up is thing in a box. And what's funny about that is, if anybody has ever heard of Homestar Runner, it was a Flash cartoon that was on the web a million years ago, and it was done by these college students as their one of their projects or whatever, and they actually did really well with it. There's an episode of Homestar Runner called Thing in a Box, and it's them looking at a thing in a box or thing in a bag. But anyway.
Okay.
It just reminded me of that.
All right. And there's Lady. She's bumping into the microphone stand.
Yes, because she's trying to play with my foot for some reason. She wants me to rub her or something with my foot.
It's a wild show. That's a wild podcast. It's different.
It's different.
Okay. Do you think Emma will find out that it is partly due to August that she was in prison? I definitely think so.
It'll come out at some point.
Yes.
I have a feeling.
And I don't think she'll be too happy about that.
No, at first she won't, but I think she'll forgive him because she'll recognize that it was because of that she, you know, ended up where she did.
Well, and this kind of gets back to the whole idea that I was talking about, the whole dreamy thing. You know, we grew up in, you know, I enjoy stories about you know, true love and people finding love and being happy. But, you know, the one thing they've gone through is sometimes you got to walk away. And that's what he said. And that's why you're going to walk away. You know, and sometimes that's better. And sometimes in the end, after all this painful serving time and not being the one she loved, you know, and fulfilling a destiny, that's better. You know, and that's so hard to kind of take because you kind of go, no, that doesn't make any sense, you know. So, but anyway, do you think that Henry's father even knows that he has a kid?
I'm going to say a big fat no.
No, no.
I'm thinking, and the only reason I say that is because she was in prison when she found out.
Yeah.
And he probably would have gone on with and done whatever. And he wouldn't have had contact with her. So he wouldn't have had any reason to know.
I really felt that.
As far as I can tell.
I felt that moment when he said, that should have been me. that he really loved her. I really felt that. And I've never seen this actor before, but he's really good. He's pretty good. So I'm thinking he doesn't. When he does find out, do you think he will tell Henry, or do you think he will wait to talk to Emma first? That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, the last kind of father and son situation we've seen similar is August and his dad. And I don't know that he's told him. I don't think August told him.
No.
Nope. I think he's still kind of, he was under the guise of, I want to help you out, you know, I kind of want to fix things.
Well, yeah, because I don't think he said anything to him, but, you know, now that Geppetto or Marco is looking for him, hopefully he finds him.
Yep. I have a theory that August may have gone to meet Henry's father somewhere when he woke up and will show up later with him. How will Henry react when he finds out that Emma lied to him about his father? That's a valid point. That whole fireman thing and pumpkin and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that whole story of her working in a truck stop diner, if I remember correctly, and him coming in and always ordering pumpkin pie. Yeah. Sad.
It's not good to lie.
No, it's not, because your lies.
Well, it's not good to make up a bad lie either. I mean, that was awful.
Well, but it made him sound nice.
Yeah.
Like he was a hero and stuff, and he was not. He was a thief.
Right. But he loved her, and sometimes people get second chances.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's true.
So that's my sage advice for tonight. Okay. So I'm thinking that their relationship will be strained a little. I believe she's talking about Emma and Henry. Sure.
Yeah.
And I think the way it kind of tips back and forth, because he was with Regina. Then Regina said, you can go live with, you know, Charming. And then when they get back, the whole story about his father is going to come out, and then he will learn about the lie. And then he'll say, well, you lied to me. I don't want to be with you. I'm going to go be with Regina or somebody else. So anyway.
Yep.
We know that Aurora and Henry are having the same dream. And I think that Snow had the same dream as well. I think that is because there's some connection in the sleeping spells that they are all under. And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Katie from Florida. Very, very good email. Thank you so much. Okay, this is Dave from Michigan's email, and it says, in last week's show, you discussed your issue with making Dr. Whale's fairy tale identity be Dr. Frankenstein. I have three things I want to say to that. I don't want to diminish your opinion, just bring these questions and hear your thoughts. First, one of the prevalent theories out there, and possibly still can happen, or the hints could have been red herrings for what he was a Wizard of Oz. Now, while more upbeat and fun, that is no more of a fairy tale than Frankenstein. True. And I think we touched on that.
What's that?
That it's more of a fantasy. Wizard of Oz is more of a fantasy. It's
considered fantasy, though it originally was considered a fairy tale.
Semantics. So,
semantics, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I see what you're saying. Totally understand. But I mean, you know, Colleen did mention to me, said, I don't remember my mom sitting down saying, Sleeping Beauty or Frankenstein? What would you like to hear tonight before you go to sleep?
Yeah, my mom, just, so, Frankenstein anyway. Was not something that was read to me as a child.
But I get your point.
I totally get it.
Get your point.
Okay,
second, you had said that you thought this would mean less interaction with the season one cast. And actually, the only reason we even said that was because of that Entertainment Weekly article,
exactly,
which said that. And so I was just reflecting that. But it was obvious that if we had these new characters, less of the old. But, okay. But as fellow Losties, think about just how the show added people and had less stories about the season one cast. I always thought the same thing applies to Once Upon a Time. And I agree with you more now as I've kind of thought more about it. So I get what you're saying. that if they had only six or seven people to focus on, they would have burned out all those characters, and we would not have been so invested in each of them, the main characters, when they did get their big show, like Ruby's coming up this Sunday. Having one-off episodes about smaller characters helps build investment for when we do get a show focusing on one of our faves.
I
totally agree with what you're saying. Okay. Finally, do you think you would have still had this opinion if ABC hadn't spoiled us with the previews?
Yes.
A little less with me. But I do think that they spoiled it for them. The preview of the next week's episode, that spoiled it for a lot of people.
It did.
It had nothing to do with my feeling or Colleen's feeling. It was just like, it was there. And I was like, well, that's pretty obvious. And that was part of my shock, was the obviousness of it. So, okay. Since the whole episode made it look like he was the wizard, then at the end should have been a classic once upon a reveal of Dr. Frankenstein instead of confirming the easy answer from the promo. I wonder if some of the disappointment was because it didn't come off with a twist. To me, yes, because it was so obvious. I mean, none of the other reveals, like we had talked about previously, there was a twist involved. You're like, oh, wow. But this, I was like, they're pointing right to it. So, anyway.
Yeah.
The way we come to expect it. And I think that's exactly what he's saying. So, it was more of a direct Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, boom, 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 boom. You know, if it would have been different, even as we mentioned before, I kept expecting whoever was underneath the blanket to be one of the Oz characters. So, I can't wait to hear your thoughts, Dave from Michigan. Thank you so much. I think we're kind of simpatico. You're less simpatico in certain points, but I kind of am more simpatico.
Well, so.
All right. Poor doctor. Poor David Anders. David, if you're listening. Dude. We think you're a fantastic actor.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. I think he's adorable. He's actually not a bad-looking cat.
And, we think you'd be a great Wizard of Oz, too, by the way.
He would indeed David be a Anders. Great Wizard of Oz.
David Anders.
He'd be perfect for it.
All right.
I have nothing against David Anders. I have nothing against the show. I just don't care.
Love, for love, love. Yeah. All we need is love and once upon a time.
So
this is another email from Nat. So here's a side-by-side view of Emma's dress. And Emma's dress, when she walked in with Neil into the hotel room and found the dream catcher, was the very same pattern of dress that Mary Margaret was wearing in the an early episode of... I think it was in Snow Falls when she was in Granny's having a drink with Dr. Whale, strangely enough. And she walked out after Dr. Whale was observing Ruby's wonderful red slippers. Just kind of a joke. And she went out to Emma in the car looking through the for rent ads in the Daily Mirror, which there probably wasn't any. So, yeah, it was the same pattern of dress and very, very nice pull. I did not notice that. And see, again, I don't notice same dresses.
Honestly, I didn't notice it either.
Yep.
But then I
did notice a dream catcher. That was one of the...
I didn't notice that. See? But, you know, we've talked about this before, but the last few weeks I've had a lot on my plate right now. Not just work, but my mom. My brain's kind of divided, unfortunately.
Yeah, her mom's been pretty sick and been fluid on the lungs and pneumonia and different things. So
she's still retaining fluids, but she's doing a little better, but it's still very, it's serious. And anyway, so
we're all getting older. And so something to keep in your good thoughts or prayers. We appreciate it. So thanks. And listener Ken sends an email. Yay, Ken. Shout out to Ken. Up in the Storybrooke, Steveston area there. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Long time no speak. I hope you're all keeping well. We're weller now than we were. He's been very busy, and he was talking about watching the presidential election, has the drama of a horse race. Just got back from a dog walk through Steveston. I miss Snowy.
Oh, I know.
She was such a cute dog. That's their dog, Snowy. Once upon a time, filming tonight, and it looks like they're doing the same tomorrow. His wife and I saw, and Snowy, walk by Mr. Gold's shop, and lo and behold, Mr. Gold is standing with a small group of fans in front of Dave's Fish and Chips, chatting with them, signing autographs, and posing photos with them. We thought of you and Colleen. Oh, boy. Lots of filming over the last couple of months, more so than last year, it seems. Ken. So thank you so much, Ken, for that.
Great. I'm really sad I missed.
Yes.
I actually saw the full Monty the other night. I was watching that. The last half of it.
Yep, we're going to go a bit long, and I kind of figured that. So
that's all right.
All right. Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is from Dan from Boston. Well, Once Upon a Time hit it out of the park once again. What an episode. Here's two or three thoughts for you guys to go over and ponder. Pinky in the brain. Are you pondering what I'm pondering, Pinky? As soon as Hurley picked up Emma, all I could think of was a Star Wars reference, Luke in Jabba's dungeon, and C-3PO saying, oh no, the Rancor. Now, if Emma then shoved a big bone in that giant's mouth, that would have sealed the deal. True. Although she did trap him for a little bit, right? Yep. That's, wow, that's very good. I didn't even think about that. She didn't throw a skull, but it's okay. By the way, I don't think they will journey to Star Wars land seeing characters from that genre. I think it would be more subtle, as in the example above or with last week's Apprentice reference. Remember what comic books Mayor Regina got for Henry Marvel, right? Nice and subtle. Yep. Speaking of Henry, I think the writers tried to extend the Halloween motif one more week with the bad dream he had with Aurora. He and Aurora had. To me, when he woke up, reminded me of Jack Nicholson's son in The Shining. Red room, red room. And I did think about that. I did think about that. Yep. Very, very interesting.
Oh, okay.
The Shining is a spooky movie.
Yeah, I've never seen
it. You would not do well.
I would not do well with it at all. I don't like scary stuff. You know that.
I know that. Yeah, and it is. I saw a. I better just stop. All right.
Yeah, let's just stop and keep going with something else.
All David would have to do is look in the mirror and see Mordor. And then ask Henry, you had a bad dream about Middle Earth, Mordor. I don't think we'll see any hobbits in Storybrooke anytime soon. I agree. Finally, my thoughts on August 2nd box. I think Neil C. is the other story character, Bay Pan. And what August showed him woke him up. When Neil met Emma, he was sort of acting like a lost boy, wasn't he? Also, could it have been Tink in the box? Wow. Wow.
But would he have had Tinkerbell on a box? Think about it. Tinkerbell in the real world?
Maybe in a cage. Maybe.
Is that even feasible?
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Okay, as well as Tink.
But I like the idea. I mean, it's kind of interesting.
As well as Tink as a bird giving him the broken note. Wow.
Again.
Very, very, very interesting.
Interesting thoughts. Wow. Not sure how they'll pull that off, if that's how that would work, but you never know.
That's all I got for now. Ruba and Granny episode next week. Get out your crossbows. Star Wars reference to Chewbacca. We haven't seen Granny wolf out yet. LOL. And take care of you guys. Hope you're over your flu bug. Dan from Boston. And, yeah, I mean, the wolf howl is kind of spaced here and there. I mean, you hear it a lot.
Yeah, you do.
As in, you do hear a lot of kind of crows or ravens around Regina or the Evil Queen. Whenever she appears, you kind of hear these, you know.
Well, I haven't even paid attention to that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the whole Maleficent-ish thing. So you hear the bird.
Well, yeah, Maleficent had a crow.
Right. But yeah, you hear them.
Or Raven, I think.
You hear them every time Regina makes an appearance. You can hear them.
Yep.
So yeah, it's the same thing with around Granny and Ruby. You hear wolves howl.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we'll find out if Granny was the wolf that did not have the red and the black eye. Because the one at the beginning in the pilot did not. And it could have been just a miss in the special effects, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe just one they didn't do, but anyway. Because remember what Mr. Gold said? I don't believe there's wolves around here. At least real ones, anyway. All right. This is from Marilyn. Hello, Jeff and Colleen. Here's some thoughts on Tallahassee. Overall, I think it was a great episode because we finally get a look-see at what we have been waiting for, Emma's backstory of who is Henry's father and how she came to be serving time in jail. Did anyone find it interesting that even though Emma believes Neil betrayed her, she has held on to that yellow bug where they had their meet-cute 11 years ago? Makes me think that she is not so out of love with him as she protests. I would agree.
Yeah.
And seeing August again was a pleasant surprise, but shame on him for being the bad boy again by taking that money Neil meant for Emma to finance his trip to Phuket. But the part of the story that fell a little flat to me was the plot dealing with the giant. After enjoying Jose Garcia's performance as a sweet and gentle Hurley for all those seasons of Lost, I just didn't find his giant all that imposing or threatening. For all his stomping, snorting, and bellowing, I just saw him as giant-sized Hurley dressed in a steampunk outfit. I almost expected him any minute to utter at least one dude. Now, don't get me wrong. I loved him. I loved having him on the show. I just think it would have helped things a bit if the makeup artist would have tried to alter his facial appearances somehow with a wig and or some facial prosthetics of some kind. Even with that complaint, I still am holding out hope that Josh Holloway will make an appearance on one someday soon. I guarantee that he give that hottie hook competition with swooning female fans. And I would agree.
Oh, very much so.
I think we've lost Colleen. I also have to say this. The first time that I thought the show's CGI effects came across as a little cheesy, the giant's treasure room did not look very convincing or impressive. And maybe it's just me, but I'm finding the character of Aurora insipid and whiny when compared to the other strong women characters on the show. Now, I know that she is just awakened from a sleeping curse, but damn, girl, grow a backbone and stop playing the victim. Wow. Well said. Well, Marilyn's getting wound up now.
Yeah, Lord. She is.
Okay. And one last thing is to comment on the issue of Dr. Whale being revealed as Victor Frankenstein in the previous episode. As to the argument that the writers should adhere to only fairy tale characters, if that were the case, we would not currently have the character of Hook we so enjoy, because the story of Peter Pan is a children's literature and not derived from a fairy tale. It actually first appeared as a stage play before becoming a book. Personally, I'm not bothered by this issue, as long as the quality of the writing of the episodes remains at its high level. I look forward to what new characters will be revealed as these stories play out. Also, I thought that the character of Victor had some interesting parallels to Rumpelstiltskin. One believes in the power of magic, above all else, and the other the power of science. Rumpelstiltskin has said many times that magic always comes with a price, and he did pay the price of losing what he prized most, his son. In the story of Frankenstein, Victor becomes obsessed with the idea of using science's power to create life from inanimate matter. He successfully brings his creature to life, but with a tremendous cost. The creature causes deaths of both his brother, William, and his bride on their wedding day. So in this case, science came with a price as well. Lastly, I find it interesting that Rumpel was so very insistent on making Dr. Whale admit that magic was more powerful than science before he would use magic to reattach Whale's arm. Take care, Marilyn. That's interesting, the backstory of Frankenstein. I did not know that. But it did kind of seem... part of Rumpel's deal is the whole power play. So, nope, you got to say I'm better than you. You got to say it. If you say it, I'll put your arm back.
And again, that goes back to what I've been saying, is Rumpel is, he's all about, he wants to feel powerful because it's the only way he'll have any kind of self-esteem.
Yep. Okay. Okay, and I missed that email from Girl Mike, so I'm going to read it right now. Okay. Hello again, Colleen and Jeff, my second contact. Wow, once you open that door, it becomes a habit. I'm listening to your Doctor Part A main thoughts, and I had to hit pause before I had a thought in response to your mention of science being more powerful than magic. Without exploring further, so as not to forget to contact you, I can point out one main way this is true. Science can bring people back from the dead. The doctor makes it seem more mystical than we know it is. It is not such a mystery in our real world. I'm not sure if it's worth exploring further, but can you think of any other way this is also true? Will this become a theme? Girl Mike. So...
I agree that science is the one way that science is much more powerful than magic, because it can bring somebody back from the dead.
Right.
And in our own real world, yeah, people die all the time and then they're revived immediately. But I think that the thing is that with, sorry, honey, I don't mean to like,
no, that's fine.
But I want to run with the thought is that I think that with bringing people back from the dead, it's not like they're starting with somebody who's been dead for weeks and weeks and weeks. Typically they're starting with, somebody who dies on a table,
right.
An operating table or right. in a car accident or whatever, and they're able to revive them. So, it's not like in Frankenstein where he started with a
sure.
dead,
but
these people are mostly dead.
Right. Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. I had to bring that up.
So,
but that's what I'm saying is I will grant you that yes, on that level, yes, science is definitely more powerful than magic, but science cannot conjure things out of thin air. Science cannot transport. Science can't change shapes or forms of human beings into something else. So, that's where you just got to have to,
but
take it with a grain of salt.
That email mm-hmm. opened the door a little bit for me to kind of see room for it. And I'm really thankful for that, because that really kind of got me to mm-hmm. to think about, and I mentioned it before, the discussion in the story with science versus magic. And that's a very, very valid point. And I can't think of anything else. But I did think of the defibrillators are kind of like lightning, in that lightning can animate matter that is recently deceased, with all the, anyway, so.
Right. But when you look at Frankenstein and in this case, and Once Upon a Time, specifically Daniel was pushing daisies and
right.
had been
for
a long time.
Right.
So, this is that whole thing of it's, that's what I'm saying. It's like that whole, that's not, there has to be an element of magic. And in fact,
right.
he had to use the magic heart. So it wasn't science, 100% science, that brought Daniel back to life. So that's all I'm saying.
But anyway, I've just, that's why I appreciated this email, because I started to think about it. And I said, in a way, even though Mary Shelley wrote this great novel,
sure,
the idea that, even today we do use this idea of electricity, which could be conjured, thought mm-hmm. of as lightning, bringing life to, someone who has passed away recently,
right,
and then not too long. And, anyway, so I really appreciate that because it kind of, anyway, it got me to kind of think, say, well, maybe there's some room for that discussion.
There's definitely a point that magic cannot bring you back from the dead, people back from the dead.
Well, and that, yeah.
But that science can. But again, yes. There's limitations to that as well.
All right.
In the real, true, not on TV world.
I know. Okay. All right. So two more emails. Great, great emails. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you mm-hmm. all so much.
Yeah.
This is from Marilyn. It's a bit late last night when I wrote my original email, so I probably was a bit sleep deprived. But I forgot to add, I wanted to send best wishes and big love to all the Oncers on the East Coast who are suffering through so much with the storm damage and now having to cope with the snow as well. You are in our thoughts. And I echo that as well.
Yes.
And if you're listening from the East Coast, know that, you know, we're with you and big love mm-hmm. is coming your way. And hang in there. Man, it's just so tough. Man. Anyway. So,
yes.
Great. Kind of a PS to an email. All right. This is from Angie T in Oklahoma City, OKC,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's Oklahoma City.
Hello, Ronies, Jeff, Colleen, and Lady. Thank you. Lady says thank you very much.
She's sleeping.
As well as the rest of the Oncer family listening to the podcast. Thanks so much for the soundtrack review by Bob Chrisman of Galaxy Cast. And you're welcome. And Bob is a great guy. He's great at what mm-hmm. he does. And I'm so fortunate that he said, yes, he's a busy guy. And we have time to trade emails, but I will pass along your thanks as in an email as well as mm-hmm. here. That's one of the things I love about your show. As you always say, it's different. I like how you focus on all things surrounding the show and go more in depth into the smaller, if you will, details such as music. The town of Steveston, knitting, which I took up and love. Thank you so much. And you are very welcome. And the interviews with the makeup artists, set designers, and not to mention the voicemails from the cast members and all the things that make Once Upon a Time a truly wonderful show. I have to say you're a big part of that, too. I also want to thank you for not being possessive of this fandom. I have been listening to fan podcasts since 2005, and have listened to other fandom podcasts, not related to Once at all, that are not as welcoming as you are. And thank you for that. We try to be one big happy family, you know, doctor lovers and non-doctor lovers. And, you know, but it's a fun group. And sometimes we all need to eat turkey and kind of calm down and mm-hmm. hold hands mm-hmm. and sing Kumbaya. But, it's like a family.
Yes, it is.
Thank you once again for all the magic you bring both to your bring to your listeners. I can't wait for the next episode from both Once and the Ronies as well. Be well and have a great week, Angie T in Oklahoma City. Thank you so much, Angie. We are still having fun, and we thank you for being a part of the show. So,
yeah, we do.
That's it. That's it. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the live show, for chatting in the chat room. Don't forget that we do have live chat rooms for every time zone. They can be found at chatrooms.onceuponatimepodcast.com. So if you want to chat with people in your time zone while you watch Once Upon a Time, you can discuss all the spoilers there in that chat room that are happening right before your eyes. And so whatever time zone you're in, you can go there. And I'll put it in later. So thanks so much, however you got here to listen to this. If you download it, if you listen off the website,
mm-hmm.
We appreciate everything that you bring to it, that you listen, that you're a part of it. I want to send big love out to everybody who's listening live and who's also listening later. We appreciate everybody.
Yes.
And Oncer Sunday tomorrow. Can't wait.
Yay.
We're going to Ruby Watch on 10. Have a great time. And we'll do First Thoughts again tomorrow night. And we'll do it all again next week. So thanks for everybody's voicemail and email, and we'll be talking at you soon. So take care, guys.
Thanks. Bye. See ya. Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.